Hello and welcome to the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony
and Lou. And why are we doing this, Tony?
Well, let's mention first of all that this is the premiere episode.
Oh, that's true.
But the reason we're doing this is because I've recently gotten into podcasts quite a bit, and I love to peruse all that's out there regarding entertainment, whether it be video games, TV, or movies. And though there's a lot of good stuff out there, there's also a lot of crap. So,
and hopefully we won't be adding to the crap.
But if we are, it's our own little contribution.
There you go. So the kind of things we're going to be talking about are, things you'd typically associate with entertainment. Wrestling. No, I'm just kidding. There will be no wrestling. There will be no discussion of wrestling. Can we just put that on the table?
I do have something to say about wrestling later.
Oh, no.
So,
okay.
But this will probably be the only time.
Okay, I'm a little frightened. No, we're going to talk about things like video games, TV, movies, and, of course, technologies. And I might talk about cars every once in a while, too, because I like cars and I have nobody else to talk to them about. So it makes me a little sad. And so you'll be in on my little pity party.
Tired of being the shoulder to cry on.
As I talk about cars. And Tony and I actually have known each other forever, like for 25 years.
Yeah, I think even a little more than that.
Yeah, we went to high school together. We're both in our early 40s now, which I don't know if you wanted me to out you.
How dare you?
But I outed myself too.
I sound like I'm 19.
Excuse me. And no, you don't. And But we're both still into the same things we were into back then, which is video games, TV, movies, and technology, which is actually kind of cool.
We've never grown up.
No, we've never grown up. Although we've got more responsibility now, which is nice because responsibility usually comes with money, and then you can buy stuff. Whereas before, we had to wait for our parents to take us to service merchandise to buy things like the ColecoVision.
Wow.
Which I still have in the room next door. We will not be talking about the ColecoVision today, by the way. So let's start by talking about, let's go into video games first. What have you been playing lately?
I recently purchased, I threw down the bones and purchased the PS3. And one of my reasons for wanting to buy it was I've been buying into all the hype over Little Big Planet. And it really is all that, the hype says it is.
No, I haven't even seen it being played. Can you tell me, sort of what the...
Yeah, it's a platformer, but just the overall style, it's endless. I mean, I don't know exactly how many stages there are, but in the single story campaign, it takes place in different areas of the world, the Little Big Planet world. And so there's an Asian feel to some of the levels. There's Western feel to some of the levels. And it's just very cool. And
but it's 3D. We were talking about this before, and I asked you if it was sort of like when Nintendo had done the Donkey Kong Country things, where it was like a 2D side-scroller, but done with 3D graphics. Is it kind of like that?
Yeah, a little more realistic. And it's 3D in the sense that though it's side-scrolling, you can actually move more to the background and more to the foreground. So it gives it more
levels. Does that affect gameplay at all, or is it more of just...
Well, it's integrated into it, so it's...
It is. So there are times when, in terms of gameplay, you actually do have... That's kind of cool. And didn't you say, too, that you can create your own levels? And
which is amazing. I mean, because there's a tutorial level that's... I still haven't finished it, and it's pretty in-depth, and it just... The stuff that you can do... I mean, you can literally create anything that you can imagine.
Yeah.
And what's great about that is then you can just upload it to the PSN network and PlayStation Network. And right now...
You think they got that idea from TCBY Yogurt?
Exactly.
Or the ATM machine?
By
the way, your microphone's over there.
Right now, there are over 300,000, from what I hear, 300,000 user-made levels that you can go on and play. And, some of them, like podcasts, some of them are great and some of them are crap.
Now, is it mostly... Are you doing mostly shooting or is it mostly puzzle solving?
No. It's puzzle solving. It's a lot of swinging and jumping and like old school platform.
Like Pitfall kind of stuff. Combined with Montezuma's Revenge, combined with Droll from the Apple II.
Oh my God, he's taking me so far back, I don't remember.
Do you remember that game?
What's really great about it, though, that the stuff, the materials that the items are made out of, for example, when you grab onto something to swing, it's made of like a sponge or like... everything's made out of, like, your little character is called Sackboy, and it looks like he's made out of,
like a little burlap bag, right?
Burlap.
Doesn't he kind of look
But then you can change his materials to be, I mean, it gives you through each level, you get new materials, new stickers. You can put stickers on them, or you can put, you know, have objects on them like hats or
beards. You can customize them. Yeah. Doesn't he kind of look like that Domo character that Target was pushing for Christmas? You know who I'm talking about?
No idea what you're talking about.
I seriously, I'm going to go get something.
Where did he go? Oh, left alone already. We've only been on for like 10
minutes.
Doesn't
he kind of look sort of like that?
Yes, he looks just like that.
Isn't that weird?
Google Domo. Target.
Domo Target. Well, but they were pushing it, but it's somebody else's creation. It's been around for a while. And you are completely addicted to...
I am completely addicted. I'm looking forward to making my own levels. And what's great is you can go and find the most popular levels. And I've just been actually in the new PlayStation Magazine. I've been reading about these people that are making levels that compare, if not better, than the levels originals that are in the main story.
That is pretty cool. I always think that's really neat when people do that, because, you know, people do that a lot for the Bethesda games, like, you know, Oblivion and that sort of thing. And it just, it completely blows my mind that people spend so much time. That's one of the things about getting older as a gamer, is you get completely lazy.
Right.
Like when we were kids, I don't know if you remember, when we were in high school, we used to spend so much time, like on the Apple II, for instance, creating stupid graphics. Remember that?
Right.
That we'd program out to like draw stuff on the screen. I mean, we'd spend like a week to come up with some dumbass picture. And now, you know, you couldn't pay me to sit in front of one of those level editors. I mean, I'm sure it's different on Little Big Planet, because it's actually part of the game. Whereas, right?
Somewhat. I mean, you go to a different part of the game to do it, but it's actually all...
it's more integrated.
It is, and it's actually fun to do. It's fun to
to
do the creation part of it,
yeah.
But especially when you see all the tools that are available. But through the tutorial so far, it's been, you know, fairly easy to understand.
Yeah, well, maybe.
But when you see some of these levels that people are making, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe they took the tools of the game and
right.
they made this. I
right.
mean, they really, you know.
Can you do things like import your own models and stuff if you had your own 3D modeling
You know,
software?
From what I understand right now, the only thing that you can really import, not 3D models, but even as far as like graphics go,
yeah.
you can only use the PlayStation iCamera in order to import things. And I think that's because of like copyright infringement. They don't want anyone to use
yeah.
like logos or brand names.
Can you
even
import
like,
your own audio and stuff?
No, but there's a lot of audio options as far as like music.
Yeah.
And,
it sounds really cool. And speaking of games that people are addicted to, I'm going to talk about a game that you are absolutely going to loathe me talking about, and that is Bejeweled Twist. Now, didn't you tell
this
me?
This is ridiculous.
No, it's not ridiculous. I'm telling you, I loved Bejeweled 2 Deluxe or whatever it was called. Well, you know, it's one of those games that's like, I call them time wasters. Like if you're, you know, like, I don't know what that is in the background. If you're on hold or something and you just want to do something that you don't really need to concentrate on, you know, that you can be a little bit more passive with. So that's why I play games like that in the first place, because I don't really consider them real video games. You know what I mean? And didn't you say that you read something somewhere that somebody was talking about how games like Bejeweled and those sort of games are...
It's the death of PC gaming.
...responsible for the demise of PC gaming, which I find kind of ridiculous. But seriously, So I saw this, I don't know, at Target or Best Buy or something, and I picked it up. Yeah, you know, it was like $20. It's nothing. And so I picked it up, and I couldn't play anything else. I stopped. I was in the middle of playing Fallout 3, and I stopped playing it for like a week and a half because I was so addicted to Bejeweled Twist. And it's really cool. I mean, I know it's just...
Here comes the hard sell.
No, I know it's just like a casual gamer desktop game. But they put a lot of cool stuff into it. They did some really cool stuff with the music, like the way that you lose is if these gems that have bombs in them, if one of them counts down to zero and you can't disarm it, that's the end of the game.
Okay.
So once one of those gems gets down to five, the music all of a sudden, like the tempo completely changes, and then they add in all this other stuff, like layers of sound to the whatever track is playing, so that it makes you really nervous, which is kind of stupid because there's no time limit. You could sit there for an hour contemplating your next move, you know what I mean? But they did some cool stuff with that, and there's some cool effects, and there
are
a lot
of kickback on this.
No, I'm not getting a kickback. And there's a lot of cool little things thrown in there, but it's, if you like those kind of games, if you like desktop puzzle games, it's really cool.
Okay. I've been making fun of it for a while. I will try it.
All right, good.
I'll
try
at least.
Here's the CD. Now that I've installed it on every computer I own, you can, go play it in my office later. But other than that, I've been playing Sacred 2, which I started playing because I actually did a bunch of the voices in the game. I did.
Here's the plug.
Yeah, here's the plug. Hi, my name's Lou Zugaro, and I did 11 characters, one of which I'm absolutely sure they didn't use because it was so terrible.
Why don't you give us a little of that character, Lou?
No, I don't think I need to do that. But it was an ogre, and suffice to say that I do not have the type of voice necessary to adequately portray an ogre. And it hurts to do that voice, so I'm definitely not going to do it. But so I've been playing the game trying to find any of the characters that I did, and so far I haven't found any of them. The one thing I will say, it is massive. It is so big. There are a lot of nice graphics, and I've been really impressed with some of the world design. Like, I was wandering around this one area a couple days ago where it was like a little farming village, and there, like on one side of the farming village, there were all these terraced fields that, you know, some guy was farming or whatever. And stuff like that is really cool. I think they did a really good job with the world design. Beyond that, it feels a lot more like a Diablo type of game, you know, more like a loot quest than it does a true RPG.
Right.
But it's, you know, it's big. And if you like those kind of games, and I'll admit there's a lot of fun stuff to find in there and cool ways to, you know, to modify your weapons and armor and all that kind of stuff.
Well, side note, it is coming to both 360 and PS3 this year.
Oh, it's not out yet for either of them?
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, and it's huge. So, you know, if you consider for your $50, you may end up spending, you know, 6 to 8 months playing it if you don't play it that often. You know, it's a pretty good value, I guess. But, yeah, so those are the things that I've been playing lately. And I have not opened yet Tomb Raider. And what's the other one? Left 4 Dead, which I am really looking forward to. Yeah. Everyone who I know who's been playing it says it's amazing.
Now, did you get that on PC or?
Yeah. I still prefer to play most of those games on the PC. The last thing that I played on the 360 is I was playing Fable 2, and of course, I'm still playing Burnout Paradise.
Speaking
of Burnout Paradise, that's one of the things that both of us are looking forward to is the downloadable content for that.
Immensely.
Yeah. Now, did you play the bikes one?
I did. I liked it.
Did you finish it?
No.
Oh. You know what I found really interesting about that? I don't know what I was thinking, but I played the whole bikes campaign on the slowest bike, and I don't think I ever lost a race.
Really?
Yeah. And when I tried to play the same things with the faster bikes, I totally messed up, which I thought
was
kind of interesting.
So because they're so fast that they're hard to control?
I think so, because I found it a lot easier to control the... I mean, obviously, you're going to find it easier to control the slower bikes, but I was surprised that I could actually complete all the timed events on the slowest bike rather than having to use the faster bikes.
That's the route I'm taking, then.
Yeah, I would do that if I were you. So you want to talk about the two downloadable content packs that are coming out for that?
Sure. Well, first, there's Legendary Cars, which is Burnout's version of famous movie Cars. And I'm
Star sorry. Cars, as we like to call them.
Exactly. So we have Lou has their names, their Burnout names here. There's the Back to the Future car, which is the Jansen 88 Special. Now, from the picture, it looks like it's going to fly.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Well, it looks like it's hovering. I mean, I don't know if it's just
going to... Oh, yeah, yeah. No,
you're
right.
It's just
going
to hover slightly above the ground and that's it, or if you're actually going to be able to...
I don't think you would be able to fly. It's just got to be hovering, because then you wouldn't have to follow the roads. And then I know you could do your Christopher Lloyd impersonation and go, Rose, where we're going, we don't need Rose. That doesn't sound anything like Christopher Lloyd, does it? I will not be doing the Christopher Lloyd character.
Unless he's doing Ignatowski.
That's right. Oh, Rhodes, I don't need any Rhodes. And it also leaves flaming fire or tire tracks on the ground.
I wonder if it only raises off the ground if you go over 88.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
They should do that. All right, so that's the first one.
Then there's the Manhattan Spirit, which is the Ecto-1 from Ghostbusters.
The ghost-busting hearse.
Yes. I don't really have any more to say about that. I mean, really, what would the benefit of
that
be?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any idea.
Then there's a Carson Nighthawk.
Except that it may be yet another car that has a siren. Because I will tell you, when I play Burnout Paradise multiplayer, I love to pick the police car and just go bother the hell out of all the 15-year-olds who are racing around Paradise City.
The ones who just kicked your ass.
Because they hate that.
A few minutes before.
Yeah, I don't like to talk about that. But, you know, it's like, you know, whenever you bring the police car in, all of a sudden, any of the kids who are using their headsets like, oh, man, there's a police car after me. I'm going to smash him. It's the one thing that sucks about online gaming when you get older.
Then there's the Carson Nighthawk, which is modeled after Kit.
Although I don't think it doesn't look anything like the old Trans Am, does it?
No. You know what? I think it's a meld between the old and the new. Do you watch the new Knight Rider?
I am sorry to say that I watched the pilot of it, and it was so dreadfully terrible.
Yeah,
I mean, it was seriously awful.
But it does have the little the lighted
little,
yeah,
the Cylon eyeball.
Exactly. Then there's the Cavalry Bootlegger, which is just the General Lee
from the Dukes of Hazzard.
Dukes of Hazzard. Daisy Duke not included.
I was just gonna ask that.
Not included.
Oh, that's too bad.
And then I think it's a little later in the year.
And do you know when that's coming out, Legendary
Cars? I want to say it's in the first quarter. I mean, I've just heard some speculation. But then they're opening up a whole new part of the world with Big Surf Island.
Yeah, if you go to the east part of the city and go like near a little bit north of the baseball stadium, and you go up onto the top of one of the parking garages there and you look out into the water east, right? East? Yeah. You can see that there's some land out there and a bridge that's unfinished. Well, I guess they're going to finish that bridge and you'll be able to drive over to Big Surf Island. And didn't you say that?
Yeah, I want to say that I heard actually in another podcast, but a reputable source, that the big building you see there is going to be a giant parking structure. So,
and there's also an airport over there, right? Like an international airport, not like the little airport where you do the stunt runs.
Right.
Yeah. And isn't it supposed to be really big, too?
Yeah, I hear it's as big as the downtown area.
See, that's so cool. But it's not going to be free.
It is not going to be free. But I don't think they've listed a price yet. No. I would guess they couldn't make it more than, like, $15. I say that.
See, I was thinking 10.
Yeah.
What if it's 20?
I mean, times are tough.
If it's 20, if it's 20, would you buy it?
Yes.
I probably would.
To complete if the
it's,
experience.
If, yeah. Not only that, but if
I have to say, I mean, this game came out a year ago, and we're still getting a lot of
fun
out of it.
I know. Seriously, if you like any kind of driving games at all, and you haven't played Burnout Paradise, you have to get it. It is seriously the coolest, most fun arcade type of driving game. I mean, it's not, you know, things like Project Gotham are almost driving simulators because they're getting so into the details of the cars and, you know, how they handle and everything. I mean, at least that's the way it feels when you play it.
Right.
It doesn't feel very arcadey. It feels more realistic. And obviously in Burnout, you can smash into things and you're, you know, jumping over airplanes and stuff.
Yeah, when you get tired of racing, then you can go and just, you know,
drive around,
smash as many cars as you want. Or, yeah, just the exploration is amazing.
But one of the coolest things about that game is that you can drive all over the entire world of the game and you never see any loading anywhere. I mean, unless you go in to pick a new car out of the parking garage, that is the coolest thing.
Right.
Because that's one of the things that I've never liked about those kind of driving games is go to the menu, pick your event, do your event, go back to the menu. You know, it kind of breaks with the whole... you know, I mean, to use a movie term, the whole suspension of disbelief. Whereas in Paradise, it's so cool that you're just driving around the city. And if you want to just drive around the city, you can.
Right.
And there's so much cool stuff. There are all these achievements that you can get that have to do with knocking down, you know, barricades and finding all these different things. And it takes a long time to do all that stuff. There's a lot of stuff to find in there. I still find little pathways through areas of the city that I don't think I've ever seen before.
Right. It's amazing to me when I find, like, a barricade that I haven't gone through. I'm like, it seems like I've been through the city.
Oh, you never finished all that? Yeah, see, I finished all that a long time ago. I got all those achievements already. Yeah. So, and we don't know when that's coming out either,
we
right?
don't know. No. But
I think if I were Criterion, I would release it next week, and I would change my mind about it being free. That's what I would do. Yeah. I would say it's going to be free, and it's going to be next week, at least for me. That would be my idea.
Why don't we take a little break?
Yeah, we're going to take a break, and then we'll be back in a few seconds, and we're going to talk about some TV. We are back. That was a lovely musical interlude, wasn't it?
And I listen to it all day.
I say this not knowing, not having any idea at this point what music is actually going to be there when this thing's done. So hopefully we'll, in fact, have been lovely.
Next, we're going to talk about television, and
that's a big rectangular thing in your room that with the moving pictures on it.
Yeah,
the one that used to be really thick and chunky and heavy, and now is flat and beautiful and wonderful.
Or still thick and chunky if you're my parents.
In fact, I'm going over to my mom's tonight to help her get rid of her last thick and chunky TV.
Oh yeah, you didn't just get her a $40 converter box for Christmas?
No. Although my sister she ordered her coupons and then my older sister ordered her coupons and then she lost them or something. And so she asked me to go to the website.
I did the same thing for my father.
Really? Yeah. And so I went there and I signed up, and it was great because it said that, you know, I had been approved, I qualified and everything. And then it said there was no more funding for the program and that no more coupons were available.
Yeah. Well, that's why Barack wants to, I call him Barack.
You call him Barack. We're like that. Yeah. We're from Chicago. Right. So we all know Barack. Everybody knows that. Didn't you just have dinner with him?
No.
Oh. Okay. No. Moving on.
So I start any rumors about our president.
Have you ever seen him out and about in Chicago?
I have not.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I have not.
In fact, I didn't even know he was from Illinois until after the election.
Come on.
I'm kidding. But no, I have never seen him in person. I've never seen Oprah in person. I've never even seen Mayor Daley in person.
Really?
Yeah. But I don't live in the city, so I live on the burbs.
I think we're getting off the subject here.
That's fine. TV. Everyone loves TV. What do you watch? What do you like to watch?
Well, I'll tell you, we have a list of things we want to talk about today. And first, I'm going to talk my aggravation with
Heroes.
Wait a
minute. What do you watch? But before you get into that, what stuff do you watch in general?
Oh, garbage. Usually like garbage. What? Like, you know, reality, you know.
Oh.
Time waste.
Real world. Road rules.
No. As you outed
Fear
us
factor.
Earlier, I am in my 40s.
Fear factor.
So. No, you know, a mishmash of just garbage.
Okay. All right.
Nothing critically acclaimed.
That's fine. You don't want to talk about what you watch. Do you? You don't want people judging you. Do you watch Dancing with the Stars?
I have seen an episode or two of Dancing with the Stars.
I've never seen that. I have no interest in dancing whatsoever. I don't know why.
Well, you know, they don't make you get up and do
no,
it with them.
I know, but still. Oh, it's not like the Wii Fit?
No.
That's good. That's good. I don't think people would watch TV anymore, to be perfectly honest with you. All right, fine. Talk about Heroes.
Heroes. Aggravated with Heroes.
Why?
By
the way, I'm a big fan of Jesse Alexander's blog. Jesse, if you're listening to this, which I'm sure you're not, I read your blog every time you post something, and it's usually very enjoyable, so thank you for that.
And Jesse is a friend.
No, he's one of the Heroes guys, one of the guys who makes the show.
I know, he's been a good friend of mine.
No. Why are you frustrated with it? Because I'm not frustrated with it.
I just think it teeters. You know what? Here's the thing. I know when it came out, its goal was to not stretch things out as long as Lost.
Right.
And I think where it fails is that it just throws so much stuff at you that it just... I mean, I'm not looking for probability here. It's, you know, it's all not based in reality. But it goes too far sometimes. I mean, Siler as a father, doting father, and the whole, you know, look into the future.
Yeah, but that was kind of like Bizarro World. You know what I mean? Because
I want there to be some sort of reality.
No, I understand what you're saying. And I will definitely agree that there's a lot going on in that show. But, you know, every time I read something about it, they talk about how people are leaving the show because it's confusing. I don't find it confusing. It's just that you just end up not really caring about a lot of those characters that
exactly.
are thrown in there because they're only in there for a few seconds.
Exactly.
You know, like,
I admire it and I hate it at the same time. Like how they will off a character just like that.
Right.
I mean, this character that you followed through the last season and a half, all of a sudden, you know, Siler just, you know, put his finger across his forehead and they're gone.
Yeah.
I mean, without any warning or, you know, I didn't even have time to say goodbye.
But, you know, do you usually do that to characters on TV?
Well, I TiVo it, so I rewind. I get my chance still, but.
Would you like a tissue? you know, and the thing that I don't like about shows like that is whenever somebody's dead, they're never really necessarily dead.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, you thought Petrelli's dad was dead and he's not dead, even though we never saw that happen. But I mean, okay, this is one of the things that did bug me. In the first season, they talked about how the only way to really kill somebody like Siler was to chop off his head. So they got like 900 million people trying to get him in Times Square or wherever that was. And both Hero and... Who was it, Peter or Claire? I don't even remember now.
Peter.
Both of them were right there. Either one of them could have lobbed his head off, but they didn't. And there have been like at least two or three other times in the series when they could have chopped his head off. Not that I'm condoning head chopping off in general, but I'm just saying within the world of the show, if somebody's that bad and you don't want to ever have to deal with them again, you cut their head off. You don't just let them like crawl into a hole and, you know.
I agree. But, you know, he is one of my favorite characters. So
yeah, he is a good character. And he's a great actor. I mean, I think he's really great as that character.
And we look forward to him in the Star Trek movie. That
yes,
should be interesting.
I'm very much looking forward to that. I will say, too, that I cannot stand Mohinder.
Oh, I second that.
Why would you purposefully create a character in a TV show that is so wishy-washy and goes back and forth within his own personality. And I don't care if he's starting to turn into Fish Boy or Lizard Man or whatever it is, Insectorama, whatever his superhero name is going to be. He is just so annoying. He always does exactly the wrong thing. And then some people just disappear. Whatever happened to Molly?
Right.
I mean, where is this little kid living on her own now? Where the hell did she go?
And how many? There's triplets now, right? The
oh, Allie Larder's character,
right?
Yeah, and I don't even remember what happened.
What
to
happened?
Other two.
Right, exactly.
What happened to her kid? You know, Formica. No, what was his name?
It was Micah.
Micah, right? Yeah, yeah. And what happened to the dad? Is he dead? I can't even remember.
I don't remember either.
What
See,
happened?
There's just so much thrown at me. I can't keep it straight.
What happened to Majah?
Majah.
Majah. You know Mohinder's girlfriend with the black bleeding eyeballs and the
they showed her in one of the last episodes. Remember, you know, he went
to visit
when
her on the twins.
Powers, he went to lose. He went to see
what?
When
I said he went to visit her and the twins because they always put her in amazing cleavage shirts.
Well, they're playing to her strengths. Yeah. But remember when he had lost his powers, he had gone to see her,
yeah.
And then right before he sees her, he turned into Lizard Boy again.
Yeah, and then he left or something.
Yeah.
And then she look out the door, like all confused, like who could possibly have been at my door?
Aggravating.
Yeah. No, I still like it though. It's still fun. You know, that's the whole thing. And I will say that this season definitely has felt so far a lot more like the first season than last season did.
Right.
I didn't like last season. Last season was too quick. You know, it was like within the first five episodes of the first 5 minutes of the first episode of the season, like 90 people had died and. You know, they introduced all these new powers.
And Hero in ancient, was it Japan?
Yeah, I kind of like that. I kind of like that.
I hated it. I also don't like how, I mean, I can understand having some comic relief, but I mean, the slapstick sometimes is too much.
Yeah, I love it. I love when Hero has funny moments, though.
Like
I think
when
they
Hero
really...
thinks he's 10?
Well, I didn't really see that as slapsticky, did you?
I
don't know. I thought that was kind of cool because I liked when he popped in and grabbed Siler and he's like, bad man, and then takes him off to a beach somewhere. I thought that was pretty cool stuff. You didn't like that?
I think I'm just a little more based in reality.
Oh, whatever. Okay, Mr. Little Big Planet. Addicted to Little Big Planet. Yeah, you're really based in reality. All right, so there's
But it
that.
Looks like real materials.
Well, we'll talk to the we'll see if we can talk to the Heroes Wardrobe people and see if they can fix you up with something. All right, so what about Lost?
I'm looking forward to Lost, but I have to say it's been so long since last season.
Do you even remember last season?
No, I don't. And I really, you know, actually tomorrow they are showing the season finale, and I think they're doing the like pop up video thing on the bottom where they like.
I don't like that.
I know you don't like that, but you know what?
Isn't that your mom's favorite thing to watch?
Of course. Well, she needs a little handholding. Mom, sorry if you're listening.
A little handholding. That's awesome.
But no, I'll be watching that. I mean, I never lost touch of Lost. I know it was second season or third season. It had some criticism, but I never thought it really faltered. It had me from the beginning. Had me from Hello.
Yeah. Had you from Boom. I don't remember a lot of last season. I remember there was some very boring courtroom drama with Kate.
Right.
And I remember very little else. Except I do remember that the last episode ended basically the same exact way that the last episode of the previous season ended, with Kate
right,
and
with
Jack
that.
By the railroad tracks right. talking, although now we actually know what they were talking about.
It was at the airport, wasn't it? Or was
Whatever.
It railroad tracks?
No, I think you're right. I think it was railroad tracks near an airport. I don't know. But the way, you know... It's the same kind of thing with Lost, though, in that some of the stuff that bugs me about that is that, you know, I don't like it when, and everybody knows that they never know what they're doing with that show. Everybody knows that they don't know where they're going with it, right, ever since first season. Isn't that the whole deal?
Well, I think they're trying to keep everyone on their toes. Like, anytime they hear
a rumor, they go in the opposite direction as to what's going on with the show. But don't you think...
Which I admire.
Right, but don't you think that the original thing was the whole purgatory, and then everyone guessed it, like, after 5 minutes of watching the show, so they changed their mind?
I maybe may have thought that at the beginning, but now when you think about that being the answer, it seems a little too obvious.
Well, it seems obvious now.
Right.
Because everyone was talking about it for a year. You know what I mean?
Perhaps.
I don't know. But anyway, the thing is, like, I don't like it. Here's the thing. I don't like it when, you know, somebody's sailing around the island and they see a 30-foot tall foot. And, you know, and then you got Saeed saying, you know, what was attached to the rest of that? And what happened to the people who built it? You know, it's like, but then they never go back to that.
Right.
And it's the same thing where you don't know what has happened to people.
But there have been things that, like, they touched on from first season that they didn't go back to, that they went back to in the last season.
Yeah, okay, that's true.
It's been a while, so I can't come up with any specific instances. But I remember being impressed with it.
Yeah. I think I get more attached to the people. For the most part, I get more attached to the people on Lost than I do on Heroes. Like, on Heroes, I'm always expecting someone to get killed. Right. Well, I didn't like it when Charlie died.
Well, I think on Lost, there's a lot more character development than there is on Heroes.
Yeah.
Heroes, I mean, they just throw them into the action.
Well, it's a comic book. That's the whole thing. Yeah. Heroes is a TV comic book. You know, so the characters are sort of, by definition, more flat.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Thank you. Sorry, Jesse. Okay, so 24 started on Sunday night. I am extremely happy to report that 24 feels a lot more like early 24 than the previous season, which was dismal. I don't know if you remember the previous season, where basically it was Jack ordering tacos, learning how to play piano, washing dishes, basically nothing that had to do with action or adventure. And it just didn't even feel like the same show anymore. Plus, the whole like government, you know, conspiracy thing, I think, had gotten so convoluted. You know, what's his name was out of office. Was he dead? I don't even remember.
I left it like, what was it? Season four, I think it was my last full season.
I don't know. Well, whatever the last season was, that one was terrible. But all the ones before that I really liked. And I have to say, I think that the writer's strike was probably the best thing that could have happened to that show. Because not only did it give him time to come up with, what so far seems like a pretty cool, you know, plot line for this season. But also I think it was helpful in that it allowed everyone to forget how bad the last season was.
Right.
And come back.
Well, I'm glad to see. I mean, I've read a little about it, and I don't really have a lot to talk about here because I haven't watched it since season four. But I'm glad to see that now things are happening in other places other than Los Angeles. I like that any time that terrorists are trying to
attack
us,
they always target LA.
It's LA.
I know. Well, wouldn't you if you were the terrorist? Because, you know, not only can you get to a gazillion people because it's the second largest city in the country, but you get a little sun. There's some good Mexican food. You got a lot of hot babes walking around.
But it just so happens that's where Jack Bauer is.
I mean, know. Thank God.
Go somewhere he's not.
Thank God. What would we do without Jack? You remember in The Office when Dwight was trying to find somebody to be his assistant, and he said he wanted Jack Bauer, but he was overqualified, fictional, and unavailable. That's how I kind of feel about him. I wouldn't mind him doing a little data entry here, because I know he'd find a lot of mistakes and fix them. If you know what I'm saying.
And he would act like it was the most important thing in the world.
Damn it, I need more time! and I don't want to give anything away because there's some cool stuff. Even we only watched the first three of the 4 hours of the two-part season premiere.
And you did not see Redemption, correct?
I did not see that. No, we missed that. And, you know, we tried to watch it online, and I don't think they put it online because
they wanted you to go out and buy the DVD. I don't know if you know this. They released it on DVD.
I know. That's why it was not online. Is it already out on DVD?
Yes, I saw it in a store.
See, I'm wondering if we should go get that. It didn't really seem like there was anything that was that confusing in terms of stuff that, you know, it's been so long, though. It's been like 2 years, so I don't remember what we remembered or what we didn't remember. I don't know.
Well, you know what? I will try to in my very busy schedule. I will try
to
offer
catch the next
up
week?
On that.
Yeah.
No,
you
no,
should.
Actually.
You should, because it really feels a lot more like early 24 than the last season, which is very cool.
Is Kim in it?
Kim is not in it. Oh, well, she's not
God.
In it yet. You didn't like her?
No.
Really?
Like when she got caught in the bear trap? No.
I actually kind of liked that. Didn't she get caught in the bear trap with one of the Dylan brothers?
Exactly. Johnny Drama.
Johnny, from Entourage. Yeah. Well, see, I like her because she's cute. Yeah. You know. I'm trying to think if there's any cute chicks on 24 so far. Well, there's one FBI girl. She's all right. But speaking of cute chicks, I cannot wait for the return of Chuck on February 2nd. I know you don't watch that show, but that is probably my favorite, all-around favorite show on TV right now, just because it feels completely unlike anything else that I can remember watching. I mean, it's a total, you know, on the one hand, it's kind of a throwaway show. You know, it never really takes itself too seriously, but it's actually really good. I mean, the characters are pretty well developed, oddly enough. I mean, Chuck and his best friend Morgan, who, you know, work together at the Buy More, they have a great relationship, which is really, really funny. And there's a lot of cliched stuff. There's a lot of stuff that they do over and over. But you kind of put up with it because it's so much fun to watch that show every week. I cannot wait till it comes back. You should really watch that again.
There's too much ketchup.
No.
And that's probably on the same time as like Flavor of Love or whatever I'm doing that evening.
I hope you don't watch that. You don't watch it.
I don't. Not anymore. It's not on right now.
Have you? Did you watch that True Beauty show? Did you? Because
I have to say I have it TiVo'd. I don't think I'm going to watch it.
It's so terrible.
I've seen clips of it on. Was it
Talk
Soup?
Soup.
And
it's so terrible. You know, it would be so much better if they would just if the three like hosts or whatever you want to call them would just sit around and make fun of everybody. Because as it is, it's very formal, and it's like, okay, now we're going to go see our people walking around Melrose Boulevard. It's just so stagey. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then you've got Christy Brinkley, who I don't know what's going on with her, but something ain't right.
Is that Christy Brinkley? I thought it was Cheryl Teagues.
Yeah, whatever. Same thing. All right. Aren't they about the same age?
No, I think Cheryl Teagues is a little older.
Oh, well, whatever. But, it's not a good show.
We do have American Idol starting.
Yes, tonight is the beginning of what I like to call American Idol season, because pretty much nothing else happens during American Idol season. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah.
For people who are really into American Idol, there's nothing else going on other than American Idol for the next, 5 months, basically? And I'm not guilty of that, but I have seen every episode of that show. I love that show.
Have you really?
Yeah. I've never missed an episode of American Idol.
I've missed it.
I don't know if I want to be really bragging about that, and I don't think I am bragging about that. I just think it's fun.
Taking
you know,
the back
because,
seat to that.
I mean, no, I'm just saying, if you think about all the reality shows that are on TV, I've always enjoyed the ones that are about something that has something to do with the real world.
Yeah, but don't you feel completely ripped off of that one whole season when you see commercials on our local channel here that Taylor Hicks is here doing Grease? Winner of American Idol, what was that, 5?
I gotta be honest.
Is out doing Grease right now?
I gotta
now
be
here?
Honest, thanks to TiVo, the only commercials we ever watch during Idol are the ones that the contestants are in, like the Ford commercials
right.
that they do.
Well, he's here playing Teen Angel in Grease right now. Not even like a big. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure
I see he got all
cash.
His dreams and aspirations met right there.
You know, that it's funny, though, because if you think about that season was so huge. I mean, just in terms of, you know, the viewership and just the energy of that show and everything. And the season after that, the one where Jordan Sparks won, it just seemed like such a huge letdown. And then last season felt good again to me. Like, last season felt like it had a lot of energy.
Two words, David Archuleta. No, I don't know. I don't really mean that.
I don't really know if you want to be saying his name when you're talking about energy. That guy looked like, you know.
Yeah. Well, because he knew he had a beating waiting for
him.
It was
like he got his performance training from Perry Como. I know he had a beating waiting
his
for
him. His dad was, like, shooting daggers at him from the audience.
Actual daggers,
but
not from his
to,
eyes.
I am looking forward to this year. I mean, I like that they added the new judge because I'm hoping that it will be some.
Yeah,
like,
see, I don't know about that
cat fighting going on.
I mean,
I know
that they did that, but I don't know how I feel about that.
I think it's going to add a little.
Do you think so? You think they're going to get catty with each other?
Well, Paula's crazy, so.
Do you think she's really crazy, or do you think she's just wasted?
I think she's crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you love her anyway?
No.
Oh, you don't like Paula.
I don't dislike her. I just, you know.
Yeah. Don't you like, though, when she has her moments of lucidity and she gets really nasty? I actually like her during those moments.
Yeah.
Because she, you know, she's one of those people that you know would give anything to help you succeed unless you piss her off. And then look out, because she will take you down so fast that she'll make Simon Cowell
with lipstick all around her mouth. Well, that's not on her lips.
I don't really care about the fashion, I gotta be honest. Except for where the contestants are concerned. And even then, I don't really care.
But no, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. And, you know, and every year I hope that there's some girl with a really like smoky, raspy voice who does really well, and it never happens. Every time there's a girl like
that. Remember that girl from Indiana last year? What was her name? Amanda?
Wait. Oh, I couldn't stand her. Oh, she's terrible. I hated that chick. Well, she was so grumpy.
Yeah.
She's like pissed off about everything. No, I didn't like her at all. No, like, you know, there's always some girl like that, but she's always terrible. Like, she can never sing on key. You know who I liked? Was it last year? Was, now I can't remember her name. The little Asian girl. What was her
name?
Ramiel. She was awesome. She had, like, her
first. That's my favorite dish at the Thai place.
You just made it up. There's no dish called Ramiel. Was she Thai?
I don't know.
Oh. But she, like, I thought she had a cool look. I liked her voice, and she had that one performance, like, early on that was fantastic, and then she sucked every week after that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did her album come out yet? So yeah, so tonight is in fact the beginning of American Idol season. So there you go. Are we done with TV?
We're done with TV.
Okay, we're going to move on after a quick musical interlude. So get your ears ready.
Enjoy.
All right, we are back, and we are going to talk about movies now. What have you seen lately?
Actually, I've seen a lot this week. I get kind of wrapped up in all the award shows, so I try to see as much of those as I, you know, the movies up for the awards as I can.
Like the CMAs?
So. Exactly. Taylor Swift.
I don't even know who that
I
is.
I don't either.
I have no idea who that
I don't
is.
Either.
I could name probably three country music stars. There's the...
Conway, Twitty.
Conway, and... Twitty, sure.
Oh, that's one person, right?
Yeah, I think that's one person. Who else is there?
I'm moving on.
Is Hank Aaron Jr.
Who?
Hank Aaron Jr., right? Is that one?
Oh, we're insulting a whole demographic of people.
I think two, actually.
Well, we have no audience yet whatsoever.
Sorry. All right.
So in the last week, actually, I've seen, I saw The Wrestler.
Yeah, with the Mickey.
That, by the way, that was my coming
O'Rourke.
Back to the wrestling.
Yeah, I know. I knew that. I knew you were going to go there.
I saw Doubt and I saw Milk.
Okay.
And I have to say, I enjoyed all three of them. And
which one was the best of the three? Which one was the most enjoyable overall?
For me, the one I probably enjoyed the most was Doubt. Just because I was entranced by the whole thing. But I have to say, the one that stayed with me the longest is probably The Wrestler. The Wrestler is heartbreaking. But it's very depressing.
Yeah.
The way they shot it, to be depressing. I mean, you never see a ray of sunshine in that movie. It's just, it's all at night and or during like a gloomy day and it's dirty and it's like cold. I mean, it must take place during the winter. It's depressing. And then, you know, there's some gory stuff in there too. They try to give you like a little background into what really happens in professional wrestling with, you know, some of the stunts.
Yeah.
And, so there's parts where like,
did you get the sense that it was realistic in terms of the fact that a lot of it was staged?
Yes.
I mean, I'm only asking that because...
That it is staged.
Because you use the word stunts.
I don't want to give too much of the movie away, except by saying that his performance is amazing. But, I mean, there are parts where, you know, because he's kind of a washed-up wrestler, he does kind of these, like, stunt appearances where, like... You know, they're using items on each other like barbed wire or a staple gun.
Oh, right.
And they show him at one point like cutting himself with a razor blade, you know, so it looked like he was bloody after his head being hit on the rail.
Oh, okay.
But you know, hands down, one of the most effective performances I've ever seen. I mean, you forget it's Mickey Rourke, although we forgot about Mickey Rourke for the last 20 years. But, I mean, within the first 10 minutes, I mean, you just buy this character so much that, I mean, you completely forget it's Mickey Rourke. And it's just – it still does something to me when I see clips of it on TV.
Yeah. Now, did you like him a long time ago, like in Angel Heart?
Yeah, I did.
Because, see, I thought he was good in that. Yeah. And then I don't really remember
– Well, there was 9.5 weeks, of course.
I never saw that.
He was good in that. It's weird though. I mean, I think if I were to see those now and then put them next to, you know, this movie I just saw, it would be like two different people.
Yeah. I mean, it would actually look like two different people. Right. I mean, he was like he was like kind of a small guy in Angel Heart, wasn't he?
Right.
I mean, he was a small guy.
In all of his movies before, I want
to
say.
Wasn't he in that movie with Keira Knightley, the one about the bounty hunter, Domino? Wasn't he in that?
Oh, he was in that, wasn't he?
And I think he was bigger then.
Okay.
But he looks, I mean, I don't know, has he had a lot of plastic surgery?
Maybe, but I have to say, I saw this movie, and I was, you know, it's a little distracting as to how his face is in this movie. And I thought that was his face, but then when I saw him on the Golden Globes the other night, a lot of that must have been either prosthetic or makeup for the movie. So, like, I expected that, any sense.
No, I know what you're saying.
I mean, his face definitely, he's had some work done. I mean, his lips look bigger and like.
Yeah, you know what he always looks like to me? He looks like somebody stitched up his face and then inflated his head.
Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
It's like the weirdest, thing. I don't know how else to explain it. But I'm sorry if you can hear my cell phone ringing in the background. It's very loud. We're going to have to talk to Apple about that.
It's our producer calling.
Yeah, it's... Really?
Three more shows.
No! I hope that wasn't important.
Anyway, I think it really, he, you know, despite comeback of the year, blah, blah, blah. It really is amazing performance and worth seeing. But you know what I have to say? I don't think I could. I mean, though I got everything out of it, I could have, and it's really like stuck with me. I don't think I could see it again.
Yeah, it was too depressing. You know, I felt like that about, did you ever see Requiem for a Dream?
Same director.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe he's just
maybe
got
that's a shtick.
Yeah. But, that's kind of a depressing shtick. Yeah. But that movie, like, I thought that was a really good movie, but I don't think I could ever watch it again.
Yeah.
It was just...
I have to say, too, that Marissa Tomei is in it, and she's amazing in it as well. And she plays kind of like... Everyone in this movie, there's no... They're kind of down on their luck. And, yeah, I mean, without without being insulting, I mean, their characters are all down on their luck and, like, with no chance of help.
Yeah.
And her character, I mean, she's excellent in it as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll garner any awards, but...
Right. All right. And then Doubt, and then what was the other one? Milk.
Doubt and Milk, and great performances in those. I mean, I won't go into long details about all of them, but Meryl Streep, as far as I'm concerned, can do no wrong. Although I never saw Mamma Mia, so.
See, you know, and I have to be honest with her. I generally do not like her.
Really?
I just don't think she's that great of an actress.
See, I buy her in everything she's in.
I don't. Like, I didn't like her in, what was that movie with Anne Hathaway?
A Devil Wears Prada? Oh, I loved her in that.
I thought that was such a caricature. I think I could have done that performance just as well.
You should have.
Well.
Do a little for us now, won't you?
No, I don't think I'm going to. I'm just saying, I don't think she's as great as everyone thinks she is.
Oh, I do. I love her. And just all the
She's no Renee Zellweger, I'll tell you that right now. I'm just kidding.
Oh, no, her eyes are open.
She has eyes. That's the first clue that there's a difference there. I'm not a Renee's, whatever her name is. I'm not a Zellweger fan.
Philip Seymour Hoffman is excellent in it as well.
Yeah.
And
does he have eyes?
He does have eyes.
Okay.
He does have, he's great in everything he's in.
You know what?
Well.
Yeah, he is. But he just seems like such a jerk. Doesn't he come across as kind of a jerk?
In the characters he plays or just in?
Both. I mean, he just plays so many jerky characters that you just kind of assume he's probably kind of a jerk.
Well, that's good acting.
Unless he really is a jerk. That's why he keeps
or
getting...
Or it's no acting.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What was the thing that I saw him in that I really liked him in? What was the one? Oh, Charlie Wilson's War. He had a good part in that.
Yeah, he's great in that.
I liked him in that. Especially right at the end.
Another really depressing movie that I saw him in recently was Before the Devil Knows You're Dead.
Never even heard of that.
With him and Ethan Hawke and Marisa Tomei, who's also in both of these movies, Before the Devil Knows You're Dead and The Wrestler. She's naked in more than half the movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I might have to go see one of those. Huh.
Marissa, put your clothes back on.
Maybe she's still ticking. She took them off because she was scared. Or as I like to say, scared. The only thing that, because we have a new baby at the house, me and my lovely wife, the only two movies we've seen together since he was born were we went to see the new James Bond movie, which I loved, and we just went to see, the other night we went to see The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
And?
And I really liked it. Now, I know that you said that it bugged you at first because it reminded you too much of Forrest Gump, but I didn't get that at all.
I still feel that. And, you know, the more I think about that movie, the more I really liked it right after I saw it. But then when I sit after the three movies I just saw and I think back to that movie,
yeah,
I don't like it as much as I did originally.
Well, I would assume it's also a much lighter film.
Yeah, but I think it's a little too – as far as characters go, I think his character, unlike Forrest Gump, though I think there's a lot of similarities between the two movies, I think his character is he's kind of – in Forrest Gump, that character had all these he just happened to be at the right place at the right time and all the things happened to him, but he still had it in himself to have all these amazing things happen. Whereas this character, I think the only problem with this character is that he aged backwards. I mean, why would that have stopped him from having, you know,
right
at any point of his life?
No, I know exactly
living
what you're
a
saying.
Normal life.
Right.
But
because
that
at,
was always
that,
his crutch.
At that point, that was his age, regardless of the fact that
right.
he was going backwards. I know exactly what you mean. Well, the one thing, like I said the other day, that I did think that was similar between this and Forrest Gump was that in both movies, the female lead, I absolutely despised. I didn't like either one of those. And I wasn't really a big Forrest Gump fan.
The character you're referring to.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the lead female character.
Okay.
Well, I don't know the women, the actors.
Because they're very nice.
I'm sure they are. No, but I didn't like either one. I didn't like the one played by what's her name in Forrest Gump, And I didn't like I didn't like Kate Blanchett's character in this. I mean, she was very hard. She was, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but you know, she was basically not a pleasant person.
Right.
Ever,
and you know what?
Ever.
And thinking about the movie later, it didn't bother me during the movie, but like now that I've had a lot of time to think about it because I saw it a while ago, it makes me think of his character as being even more of an idiot for like holding out for this girl.
Yeah. Least Forrest Gump had an excuse. Because he wasn't he wasn't all there. Mentally there was nothing wrong with Benjamin Button.
Right.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And not only that, but some of the stuff in it was like I don't like it in movies like this where I don't want to give too much away. So you know what? I'm just not gonna say it. But yeah, I mean I thought it was
Can't you say something without giving too much away?
Okay. Without getting specific, I don't like it when there's some tragedy and everyone dies except for one person, basically.
Right.
Especially a person who has less experience in that situation than everyone else. Right. And I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just stupid.
Right.
You might as well just stick him in a fridge and nuke him at that point because it's just so dumb. But
we should mention, though, I mean, sure you agree with me on this.
Effects-wise,
amazing.
Unbelievable. I don't think there was a single shot in that movie, with Brad Pitt specifically, not with Kate Blanchett, because with her, her makeup looked, I thought, a lot more typical.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, yeah. But with,
didn't you think, though, when they showed her, when she's supposed to be like 18 or 20 or whatever, that it was amazing?
It was good, but her old makeup, I don't think, was as good. Whereas Brad Pitt's makeup during the entire film was stunning. I have no idea how much of it was makeup and how much of it was, 3D or whatever done digitally, because it was so good. It was so good during the entire film. At the end of the movie, it was just like so weird looking at him when he was supposed to be like, 17, 18 years old. That was bizarre.
Yeah.
That was really bizarre. But I don't know how they did that. Very cool.
But overall, I mean, I liked it. Do I think it was movie of the year?
No. I think the makeup people should... Or makeup or effects people should definitely win something, though, because it was really outstanding from that standpoint.
Definitely. And the cinematography was amazing.
Cinematography was very good.
And one performance I did like, and I thought Tilda Swinton was great in it.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of hers. I don't know. She just bugs me. I don't know.
I liked her character.
Yeah. I liked the last time you saw her character on TV.
Right.
That was cool.
Right.
I liked that moment. But, I was just sort of a whatever for me, character. I don't know. I didn't really care. Sorry, Tilda. Okay, we're going to take another real quick break, and then we'll be right back. All right, we are back, and for our last segment, we are going to talk about a little bit of technology, specifically Blu-ray players. Wait, can I talk about the iPhone for a minute?
Sure.
Hey, did you look at any of the stuff from CES on the Palm Pre?
I've read little snippets of.
Yeah, does it sound pretty cool to you?
I tried not to.
Because you didn't want to get excited
exactly,
about it.
Yeah. Exactly. I still have like a year and a half on my contract.
I know. I think most people would agree that the worst thing about the iPhone is AT&T.
No, I'm not having that much of a problem with them.
I do not get a good signal still in a lot of places. I definitely do not get 3G coverage in all the places they say you should get 3G coverage. And I can't believe that you would.
See, I get it most of the time now. I didn't when I first got it.
Really?
But I'm not having... I live in the city, so there's probably a big difference between...
Oh, here we go. City versus suburbs every time.
Well,
were you afraid to come out here?
A little.
Did you think you were
going to
get lost in a cornfield or something? No, I'll tell you what I still don't like, in case anyone from Apple is listening, but I'm sure they're not.
They're not.
I know. I'm just saying if they were listening, this is what I tell them.
By the way, iTunes, thank you for hosting our podcast.
Should I not say what I'm about to say?
I
cannot believe that you cannot sync your Outlook data with more than one computer. It's just ridiculous. And Apple wonders why they do not have more, market penetration into the business market. That is one of the primary reasons. Because most people who use a Windows mobile device or even a Palm when people were using Palms to sync data would use the device to keep other computers in sync. Like
right.
I have one of the pieces of software that I have on my iPhone that I also had on my Windows mobile device before that was eWallet by Ilium Systems. And no, I'm not getting a plug from them either. However, that is one of the best pieces of software I've ever used. So, you know, it's a password vault application, and it's really good at using your handheld device, your mobile device, to keep your data in sync between whatever computers you hook it up to. And it's ridiculous that the iPhone doesn't do that. It drives me absolutely insane because then I have to enter stuff twice. Whenever I'm here at the office, because I sync my iPhone at home, I have to enter the thing into Outlook here, and then I have to enter it into my iPhone so that when I get home, it syncs with Outlook there too. It's just stupid. Right. It wastes my time, and
hey,
I understand
that.
So I'm going to look at the Palm Pre, and you know, AT&T can come after me if they want, if I break my contract, because especially if I can get it on a better network, and it can't be worse. I think I saw
who's the carrier with?
I don't know.
The
I want to say that I saw it with a Sprint logo on it, which would be great because even though I know a lot of people hate Sprint, when I had my Sprint phone for the 2 years before I got the iPhone, I didn't have a single dropped call in 2 years.
Wow.
And it had great reception. And so I'm kind of looking forward to that. But I like the form factor. I like the fact that it has a slide-out keyboard. That's the one thing I don't like about the iPhone 2. I know I already said there was one thing. This is one other thing. I don't like that there's no tactility to it.
Right.
You can't use your muscle memory to do anything.
Right.
Because you have none. Because there's no buttons.
Right.
You know what I'm saying.
I also don't like that you can't, well, there's no video, of course, which is
yeah,
one of the biggest.
Just
you know, there's three huge complaints. The no video.
The camera sucks. There should be a flash. I don't know why there's no flash.
Yeah. Yeah, even my old Palm Pilot from years ago had a flash.
Yeah. And there's also no flash in the web browser. You can't view
flash.
Oh,
that aside too. But there's also no cut and paste.
That is just ridiculous.
Yeah. And there's no...
The Palm Pre has cut and paste system-wide.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they'd be foolish not to. I mean,
yeah,
they should look at all the things that iPhone doesn't have.
It sounds like that's kind of what they did.
Right.
Because
well,
I think it has a flash, right, on the camera, and it shoots video, right? And it shows flash in the web browser, does laundry, and does a pretty mean impression of an accordion.
That's good.
That is good. I know somebody who'll like that a lot. I'm not mentioning any names.
So is that it for your iPhone
rant?
Yeah,
that's my iPhone rant. And if I have another iPhone rant next time we do this, it's probably going to be exactly the same, just so you know. I might just copy and paste this audio in everything. So maybe we should just pause
something
here.
Something you can't do on the iPhone.
Yeah, exactly. Let's just pause for a second to give me a natural place to copy and paste this. Ready? Pause now. Okay.
So and we're back.
And we're back, exactly. So let's talk about Blu-ray.
Okay.
What do you have how many Blu-ray players?
I have two Blu-rays.
You have 100 Blu-ray players at your house.
I have two.
Okay.
I have the, I couldn't wait for the format war to end, so
right.
I had to buy one of those $1,000 machines that plays both.
Do you feel stupid for having bought that?
Now I do. You know why I do? Because I bought it just 2 months before Blu-ray won out the war.
Oops.
So, yeah. But I have the Samsung BDU P5000, I mm-hmm. believe it is.
Sure.
And it plays both.
So.
It plays both. I have some HD DVDs.
Now, when you say both, you mean what?
HD DVD and Blu-ray.
I don't know what that is.
then we shouldn't be having this conversation. But it plays both. And I have to say, right, you know, HD DVDs aren't a good investment, obviously, because, you know, that format is discontinued. But right now, if there's anything on HD DVD you want, you can find it on eBay for a couple bucks.
So that's the good part.
I got season one of Battlestar Galactica for $15. Brand
new,
sealed.
That is a good deal. And that's not out on Blu-ray.
It is not.
Which is too bad because that is an excellent TV show that hopefully will be returning soon as well. They had some special, I think.
I don't know.
I can't remember now. I'm so confused.
But then, as I said earlier, I recently got a PS3. And the performance on both are excellent. But I have to say, I did a side-by-side comparison. PS3 is a little better.
That's insane.
It is insane.
Like, and where do you notice it the most?
Color.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The color is a little better on the PS. I mean, I don't know if that's, you know, there is settings control on both of them for,
right.
you know, their own color in that. So, I mean, I'm sure I could adjust some of it. As far as sharpness, I didn't notice a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, because the color was so great on the PS3, I thought it was a little sharper, but, you know, that may have just been my, you know.
Right. Now, let me ask you a question. On the dual format one, the Samsung,
mm-hmm.
how long does it take from the time that you put a disc in to the time that it starts doing something?
Well, you know, it's weird. It takes a little longer for the Blu-ray than it does an HD DVD.
Okay. Because we have the Sony, like with one of the earlier cheapo Sony ones, which I think is the 350.
Okay.
And 350 SM, which means that it came with Spider-Man 3.
And, that's what the SM space.
Yeah. And so we have the 350, and I'm not kidding you. Sometimes it is like 5 minutes from the time that I put
a disc in to the time that anything
happens. It's absolutely ridiculous. And my sister, my older sister, has one of the Samsung ones. I think she's got the 1500, and hers was like half the time.
Yeah.
Which is kind of aggravating since Sony invented the darn format. I don't know what it's doing.
I have to say, the PS3 is probably the fastest. No, I don't have one of the original PS3s. I have the newer, the 160 gig.
Okay.
So I don't know if it's faster now.
And it doesn't have a tray, right? It's slot loading.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if that has anything to do with it. I can't imagine it would. But still, I mean, isn't that ridiculous? 5 minutes to wait for the thing to load? I'm almost willing to like go out and spend another $250 on a Samsung just so I don't have to wait 5 minutes every time I want to watch a movie.
Yeah, well, if your son doesn't need any clothes or anything.
All right, you know what? That's just rude.
But I have to say, the PS3, and, you know, I actually met a guy a couple of weeks ago who works for, he works for one of the big stores. I guess I could say it. He works for Best Buy. He works in the Magnolia department, Best Buy. So he knew a lot about this stuff. And he was telling me that they actually, Criterion Collection, you know, they come out with all the special collections.
I thought I told you this.
You told me this as well? He told me this.
I told you that the Criterion Collection uses the PS3 as their reference standard player. Yeah. I told you that. I don't work for Magnolia, just in case people listen.
I've confused you with someone else.
Well, I wish you wouldn't confuse me with somebody who works at Best Buy. God. You know, if you're gonna start a whole new store within a store at one of the biggest chains in the country, and it has to do with electronics and really cool cutting edge gadgets, why would you name it after a goofy flower?
Right.
I don't get that.
Now, were they ever a store outside of Best Buy?
I don't know. They might have been. And I could look it up because there's a computer sitting right in front of me, but I'm too lazy to do that.
That's all right.
So for those of you listening at home, if you'd like to Wikipedia that and find out. That's your challenge. That's your homework. Reference. Yeah. I don't know.
Now, let's talk right now about Blu-ray. Aren't you getting a little frustrated with, Sony won the war almost a year ago. What's taking so long for all these movies to come out?
Yeah, I don't know. I want a lot of good movies. Well, I was trying to find the first season of Battlestar Galactica on Blu-ray, not out. The studios seem to be kind of... You know, I hate to offend anyone with a mental disorder, but the studios actually seem to be kind of retarded. Because you ever notice how, like, especially with TV shows, like, let's say the next season of something is starting, like Doctor Who. Doctor Who is going to start, and you want to get caught up with the previous season. So you go to buy the DVD, and you find out that the DVD for the previous season doesn't come out until a month after this season starts on TV, which is the dumbest thing in the world, because you know what that means? That means I'm not going to watch this season on TV either. Because if I can't get caught up, I'm not going to start watching the new one.
That's true.
It's ridiculous. We had that trouble every year with Stargate and Stargate Atlantis. And
is that still on?
I believe they just had their last episode. Stargate.
But the DVDs didn't come out in time, so you didn't watch it.
No, we didn't. We didn't. We really didn't. We got to wait until the next season comes out on DVD because we couldn't watch it because the previous season came out too late. Love Actually. Coming out on Blu-ray in February. They should have brought that out in November because it's a great movie to watch during the holidays.
Sure.
But now you're going to have to watch it during the wrong holidays. Right. Nobody wants to watch Love Actually around President's Day. It just doesn't work. It's probably coming out like 2 days after Valentine's Day, too, when there actually is no more love. It's all been used up by Hallmark. I don't know. I don't get that. And I don't know where are Star Wars... Well, you know, the one good thing is The Matrix is coming out individually. Because, you know, you could only get it before now in the collection. The Ultimate Matrix Collection, which for me would just be the first movie.
Right.
So I don't know why they named it that. But so that's coming out soon. So that's pretty good. But, yeah, where are Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark? Close Encounters is out on Blu-ray. That's good. It's, you know.
And a lot of the Pixar stuff. Like Incredibles, Finding Nemo.
Yeah, but you know you have to remember too that that's Disney, and they have like the most bizarre release schedule.
Oh, it's because of the Disney Vault, isn't it?
I think it's locked. I think that vault is time released. Well. They can't. It's like the coin safe at a 7-Eleven. You just can't get in there until 7 a.m. the next morning, and you know if you're still working on the last movie, it's gonna take a few months,
right?
At least, but
because there
aren't that many. There are actually a fair amount of Disney movies on Blu-ray already.
The more recent ones.
Yeah, but didn't
their
they,
back catalog.
Didn't they just come out with a bunch of them on Blu-ray?
Like cartoons?
Yeah. I thought they just came out with a bunch of new Blu-rays
Not
recently.
The Pixar stuff.
No, no. Disney. Old stuff.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. I think they did.
You're the one with the child.
You don't like Disney movies?
I mean, not like Sleeping Beauty.
Really? You wouldn't watch that?
No.
What about Peter Pan?
No.
Really?
No.
I have to listen to them next to each other. I don't know why you're laughing. I have to listen to them next to each other, but I think that, you know that Eagles song, Witchy Woman?
Yeah.
I think they stole their melody from a scene in Peter Pan.
Wow, how obscure.
I think so. I could be totally wrong, but there's this part in Peter Pan where they go to you know, there's like the Indians up on this mountain, and they're playing this music, and I could swear it's that dun 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 dun. I could be totally wrong, and I also can't sing, so I apologize for that. But I can't believe you don't like Peter Pan.
I don't know.
What, none of the early ones? Did you like Enchanted?
Yeah. I mean, it was cute. You know, I watched it when no one was home and no one knew I was watching it.
Well, but now everybody knows.
I've never discussed it before today.
Now everybody knows. That was a fun movie.
Yeah.
It was funny. It was cute. Yeah. It was not a, you know, it's not going to go down in
history. Would I go buy it on Blu-ray? No.
We have it on Blu-ray. I gave it to Amy for her birthday last year or something. What else? What else is coming out that's good?
Do
you have Cloverfield on Blu-ray?
I don't.
Yeah. I bought that on Blu-ray, and then I'm like, why did I buy this on Blu-ray?
Yeah,
since it was
like
shot on a $10 video camera from
right.
Buy More.
No. I can't even think of the last thing I bought on Blu-ray.
I don't know. They got to come out. The studios need to come out with better old catalog titles. So I'm waiting for a lot more of the Bond movies to come out because I didn't like – well, let's put it this way. I liked some of the movies that came out in that first wave of Blu-rays, but not enough to want to buy them. The only one I got was Live and Let Die was in that group. So I got that one.
With the campy Bond.
Yeah, you know, he wasn't really campy yet. It wasn't until Moonraker.
Yeah.
That it got really campy.
They'll come out when they release this newest Bond movie on Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll be
the next batch.
Yeah.
Or something. Wait, do you know when that's supposed to come out?
I don't.
Yeah. We're very well informed here at the pause.com entertainment podcast.
Our information is kind of dropped off here, hasn't it?
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, it's late in the afternoon. We had a big lunch. We're getting a little sleepy.
But I think our first show went well.
I do too. I think the audience will be the true judge of that.
Yeah.
And if anyone is still listening, you can let us know. Go to pause.com and send us an email or something. Tell us if there's specific stuff you'd like to hear covered. Because, you know, we're perfectly willing to go out and buy stuff and play around with it so that you don't have to. So if there's anything like that that you want to do, let us know, because it's a wonderful tax write-off and a good way for us to spend money on stuff that we would probably buy anyway.
Right.
So thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.